It's time, my friend. It's tabernacle time. Welcome to the radio broadcast of Mebane's Tabernacle Baptist Church, proclaiming the gospel of salvation through the shed blood of our Lord Jesus Christ since 1939. Tabernacle Baptist Church is independent, old-fashioned, and anchored on the immutable and inerrant teachings of the infallible preserved Word of God. We exclusively use the authorized King James Version. This is the pastor of Tabernacle Baptist Church, Chip Salue. Tabernacle Baptist Church is located at 523 North Charles Street in Mebane, North Carolina. Our services begin this morning with Sunday school at 9:45. Our morning worship service and children's chapel is at 11. Our evening service is at 6 o'clock, and our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study is at 7 o'clock. If you desire to know more about God's gift of salvation and how you can receive it, keep listening. If importunity has kept you from being in God's house today, we pray that you will find encouragement and strength. Have you got your Bible? It's time, my friend. It's tabernacle time. Thank you so much for meeting with us this morning on Tabernacle Time. What a blessing it is for us, and also a great privilege, to be with you by means of radio and share with you the wonderful message that God loves you and that He proved that love by sending His only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to this earth, giving Him so that we might have forgiveness of sins because of the blood that Jesus Christ shed on the cross as the sacrifice in our stead so that we could have our sins paid for. What a wonderful salvation we have. And you can have that salvation too if you don't have it by receiving Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We're going to be taking a look at Hebrews chapter number 5 today. That's Hebrews chapter number 5 and finishing up a little bit of chapter number 4. But before we get into God's Word, let's listen to a song by evangelist Bruce Fry from Carthage, North Carolina. The first song that he's going to sing for us is titled Adopted.
I came into this world alone, no family or home, lost and without hope. And though our blood was not the same, You gave me Your last name, and I became Your own. Adopted by Your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. You gave me clothes and food to eat, took care of my every need. I was but a youth. Shared God's precious word with me so that I could clearly see the promise of His truth. Adopted by Your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. World alone, no family or home, lost and without hope. And though our blood was not the same, You heard when I called Your name, and I became Your own. Adopted by Your love for me, a brand new family that I can call my own. Thank You, Lord, for saving me, for my earthly family, and for heaven I call home.
Romans chapter number 8, verse number 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. When you accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, there's a legal transaction that is brought to pass, and that legal transaction adopts you into the family of God. And as an adopted child, you can call the Heavenly Father, Abba, Dada. And there's one thing about adoption. A child that's adopted cannot be disinherited by the parents that adopted him, because there is a legal binding work. And that work for those who have accepted Christ as Savior is the work of the Lord Jesus Christ and his salvation that he bought with his own blood, so that we might have the adoption of sons. Now, my friend, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you would like to have someone sit down with you and share with you what the Bible says about how you can receive this gift of adoption into God's family, please call me. I would love to be able to share with you over the phone or in person what God has said in His Word of the salvation that He wants to give to you as a gift, if you will receive it. My number is 919-563-6753. We invite you also to come to our services today at Tabernacle Baptist Church, 523 North Charles Street, Mebane, North Carolina, starting this morning with Sunday school at 9:45, and then going into our morning service at 11 o'clock. We have also evening service at 6 o'clock and our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study at 7 o'clock. Please be with us this morning in Sunday school. Don't wait till Wednesday night to be with us. Unless you're providentially hindered, we would love to have you in all of our services here at Tabernacle Baptist Church. You can also go to our webpage, www.mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com, all one word, and Mebane is spelled M-E-B-A-N-E, mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com. There you'll find prior broadcasts of Tabernacle Time. You'll find sermons that have been preached at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and you will also find written material that will share with you the wonderful message of salvation from God's Word and how you can receive it, and will also share with you how you can start living for the Lord after you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. We also have a YouTube channel. If you'll go to YouTube and type in the words Mebane's Tabernacle Baptist, and that's Mebane's with an apostrophe S, that will pull up the videos that have been recorded at Tabernacle Baptist Church, and we'll give you a link to our YouTube channel, Tabernacle Baptist. Now, just before we get into God's Word, let's listen to another song by evangelist Bruce Fry from Carthage, North Carolina. The name of this song that he's going to sing for us now is titled, He Brought Me Out.
I once was lost in sin's dark valley, drowning in life's angry sea, going down, no one to help me. But Jesus' love has lifted me. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to His nail-scarred hand. He brought me out of troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Now I'm free from angry waters. By faith I'm washed in Jesus' blood. I'll drink water clean and peaceful that flows down from the throne of God. Though the storm around me rages, His nail-scarred hand, He brought me out of troubled waters. He set my feet on peaceful land. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to his nail-scarred hand. He brought me out of troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Though the storm around me rages, I'm holding to his nail-scarred hand. He brought me out of troubled water. He set my feet on peaceful land. Set my feet on peaceful land.
David said in Psalm 40, starting with verse number 1, I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined unto me and heard my cry. He brought me up also out of an horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and set my feet upon a rock, and established my goings. We find here a description of what salvation is, that as Jesus saves us, he brings us out of that miry pit of sin. He brings us out of that pit that we never could crawl out of ourselves. As Romans 3:23 says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." We have all sinned. Romans 3:10 says, "For there is none righteous, no, not one." Because there is no righteousness that we have that we can give to God because of the sin that we've committed, and we are in that miry pit of sin, there's no way we can get out by ourselves. But when we ask Jesus Christ, he saves us from that miry pit. In fact, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter number 3, verse number 11, "For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ." You see, what the Lord did when he took us out of that pit of sin and miry clay, he placed us on the firm rock, that foundation of the Lord Jesus Christ. If you read a little bit further on, 1 Corinthians 3, it tells you that you need to live for the Lord so that there might be rewards given to you for the way that you live for the Lord. Psalm 40 gives us the best picture of salvation as we are brought up out of a place where we could not escape by ourselves, but rescued, saved from the wages of sin, which is death. And the gift of God is given to us, which is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. One last song by evangelist Bruce Fry. The name of this last song he's going to sing for us is titled, "Are You Washed in the Blood of Jesus?" with "Are You Washed in the Blood?" and "There is a Fountain Filled with Blood."
Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus, purified by the work of the Lamb? Has your soul been cleansed by the living Word, born again by the great I Am? Have you tasted the living water from the well that never runs dry? Come drink of him, never thirst again, only he can satisfy. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless, are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Have you trusted the only Savior? Is your hope in the solid rock? Have you turned from sin and believed on him? Is he living in your heart? Have you been to the cross of Calvary, where the Lord was crucified? They buried him, but he rose again. The Savior is alive. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Have you been washed in the blood of Jesus, purified by the work of the Lamb? Has your soul been cleansed by the living Word, born again by the great I Am? Have you tasted the living water from the well that never runs dry? Come drink of Him, never thirst again, only He can satisfy. Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you washed in the blood, in the soul-cleansing blood of the Lamb? Are your garments spotless? Are they white as snow? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb?
We find in 1 John chapter number 1, verse number 7, but if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. Salvation is the Lord Jesus Christ cleansing us from sin. Salvation is Jesus saving us from the death penalty that we could not escape because He paid the price for our sin. Salvation is Jesus adopting us into the family. And here we find in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse number 17, Paul saying, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. And you might say, preacher, which one is it? Am I saved, like being brought up out of the miry pit? Am I adopted into the family of God as a legal action? Are my sins washed away by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ? Am I made a new creature in Christ? Which one is it? My friend, it is all these things. That's why the everlasting life that Jesus offers you is everlasting life, because it can't be taken away once you have it. When you ask Jesus to save you, He brings you up out of that miry pit. He cleanses you from your sin in His own blood. He makes you a new creature in Christ and adopts you into His family, all at the very same moment. And one more thing that He does, He seals us with the Holy Spirit of promise. My friend, this is why Jesus calls salvation everlasting life and eternal life. Because with all those things that have been done for us to get us into the family of God, there is nothing, nothing according to God's Word that can rip us out of the family of God. Because He has given everything that heaven could afford in Jesus Christ to die so that we might have everlasting life. If you ask Jesus to be your Savior. In Hebrews chapters number 3 and 4, we find the writer of Hebrews discussing with the Hebrew Christians the importance of, once you know the Lord as Savior, you need to live for the Lord. You need to live in that sanctification rest so that you have a testimony that you have been saved. Living in God's will until He brings us to the seventh day rest and we rest from all of our labors. Here's what verse number 14 says of chapter number 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heaven, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. For we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Verse number 16 says, "Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need." With all of this instruction about how we should enter into the sanctification rest, living for the Lord, having a testimony for the Lord, because we don't want to seem to come short of the salvation that He gave to us when we accepted Christ as Savior, there might be someone that says, "I'm weak. I don't have what it takes to be effective for God. I don't think I can be a good witness." At the very end of this chapter, verse number 16, we find the writer of Hebrews telling those that he's admonishing under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit that they can get the strength that they need. They can get everything they need to help as they come boldly to the throne of grace. Now, a lost person cannot come to that throne of grace because only those who receive the Lord Jesus Christ as their personal Savior have access to that throne. As it says in Ephesians 2:8-9, "For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast." In receiving salvation grace, I am automatically given access to the throne of grace, finding strength to help in time of need. Now, what need do we have? Well, according to the last two chapters, we need to have help to live for the Lord. We need to have help to enter into the sanctification rest, and that help is offered to us. I am glad that Paul wrote in 1 Thessalonians 5:24, "Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." What Paul had given to us in 2 Thessalonians 5:24, the writer of Hebrews tells us we have access to the throne of grace so that we can find strength to help us live for the Lord. Oh, my friend, God does not call you to live for Him without giving you everything you need so that you can be faithful in living for Him. Now, in chapter number 5, we find this thought continuing. "For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sin. Who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way, for that he himself also is compassed with infirmity." Now, he's talking about the Old Testament priests, those that were the sons of Aaron. They could have compassion on men that were sinners because they were also sinners. They had to go through a special process of cleansing, but they still had that capability of being empathetic to those who were under sin, to the weak, because they were also human. Verse number 3 says, "And by reason thereof, he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins." In other words, this priest of the Old Testament was completely human. There was nothing special about him except he was born of the lineage of Aaron. And in that lineage, God had given a special ministry to be the priest of the tabernacle and the temple. And yet they were sinners like all those that came to them with their sacrifices. They could feel for those that had sin because they were sinners. But in that same way, they had to offer sacrifices for themselves before they could offer sacrifices for the others who came to them to offer sacrifices. And notice verse number 4, "And no man taketh this honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron." Verse number 5 says, "So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee, as he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek." Now we bring into the picture a new type of priesthood. For you see, the priesthood of Aaron was based on men who were sinners that needed to be cleansed of sins themselves before they could offer sacrifices for others. So Jesus would not fall into that category of being a son of Aaron, because Jesus is the Son of God. And there would be a day, as Galatians 4:4 says, in the fullness of the time, God sent forth His Son. Here in Hebrews chapter number 5, we see that Christ was given to be the sacrifice for men. Now, Christ was not forced. He also loved. The Heavenly Father gives the Son and says, "Today have I begotten thee." Now, we're not talking about God the Son, who has been from everlasting. We are talking about God the Son, who was given to the earth to be born of a virgin, so that He might die in the place of others. Jesus Christ has always been with the Father, but there was a time He left heaven to be born of a virgin, so that He, as the Son of God, and being perfect, could die in our place, and He, being the Son of Man, could die in our place for man. Jesus, the high priest, offered Himself as a sacrifice for sins. In verse number 6, we find the writer of Hebrews saying, "Thou art a priest forever." Jesus Christ would not be a priest after the order of Aaron, because Aaron's priesthood was a limited priesthood. It was limited because the priests of Aaron's priesthood had to have sacrifices offered for themselves. The priest of Aaron's priesthood only had a limited time to serve the Lord before they grew old and couldn't serve the Lord anymore and they would die. But Jesus is a priest forever who offered Himself as sacrifice so that His shed blood would save anyone who would come to Him for salvation. His blood is the everlasting covenant, and He is the everlasting priest to administer this everlasting covenant through His own blood. My friend, if you do not know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, remember, He died so that you could live, and He rose again so that you could have everlasting life. Receive Him as Savior. Confess that you're a sinner. Repent of your sin and turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask Him to save you. And my friend, if you know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, remember what Jesus did for you so that you could have this everlasting life. He has called you to live in His perfect will. And my friend, if I can help you, please call me. And join us next week as we tabernacle around God's holy word here on Tabernacle Time. Thank you once again for being a part of today's broadcast. Did you receive Christ as your Savior today? Did you get some help for your Christian walk today? We would count it an honor to hear from you. Our mailing address is Tabernacle Time, 523 North Charles Street, Mebane, North Carolina, 27302. Our phone number is 919-563-6753. You can also contact us through our website, www.mebanetabernaclebaptistchurch.com. Visit us in our services. We start this morning with 9:45 Sunday School, 11 o'clock morning worship service, and 6 o'clock evening service. Our Wednesday night prayer time and Bible study is at 7 o'clock. We would love to hear from you, but whether we hear from you or not, we would like for you to be a faithful member of our radio audience and be ready with your Bible the next time you hear these words, "It's time, my friend. It's tabernacle time."